Vibery Audiobooks presents The Clansman by Andrew McIntyre. Read by James Hogg. Prologue. One of the most important factors in Scotland's development as a nation over the last 1,000 years has been the existence of the clan system. The clans are even older than Scotland itself. Many people, especially expatriates living abroad, regard them as a vital part of the country's heritage. This age-old system of family groupings has given many Scots their surnames, provided a great amount of family pride, and produced a fierce sense of community, which still exists to this day. But one of the greatest Scottish legends of all, that each clan had its own tartan which it defended to the death, is completely untrue. One of the country's greatest authorities on the clan system, Highland historian and author Jean Munro, says that there was really no such thing as an individual tartan until the clan ideal became romanticised in the 18th and 19th centuries. She adds, there may have been a district tartan for a particular area, made up by people who would know how to weave. They probably did wear some sort of striped cloth, but it wouldn't have belonged to a particular clan. If you look at paintings of the time, you can often see that people are actually wearing about three different types of cloth. The idea of a single tartan probably came from the time after Culloden in 1745, when only the army were allowed to wear it, and the idea of a particular tartan for a particular regiment came about. Despite the fact it has existed for 1,000 years, there's much that we don't know about the clan system, quite how it started, for instance, or what the early structures were. However, historians believe that the first clans probably emerged in the 11th century. Alan MacInnes of the History Department at Aberdeen University explains, they began at much the same time as Scotland began to be unified. There was a lot of instability at that time, and they would have begun with powerful lords offering protection to a local community and other groups. Clans dominated the Highlands of Scotland, as well as other areas which at the time were remote from the centres of Scottish life and government. They were forged out of different tribes based on family ties. The word clan comes from the Gaelic clan, which means children or descendants. There would always be a clan chief who took on the responsibility of looking after the people in his area. It's almost certainly not the case that, as popularly believed, everyone in a clan belonged to the same family. The chief and his children would be the most important figures, but many other clansmen were not blood relations. They would simply be people who lived locally and looked to him for protection. Nevertheless, the clan ties and loyalty were extremely strong. Most Highlanders would have felt allegiance to their clan first and their country second. They believed in it so much that they were prepared to die for it, which is just as well, because that's often exactly what happened. The whole history of the clan system is characterized by feuds, and the chief had to be able to call on his people to serve in his army when he needed them. Jean Munro explains, as the clans got bigger, they needed more land to make themselves self-sufficient. The problem was that in the Highlands, much of the land was pretty barren, and you couldn't do a lot with it. A lot of the battles between the clans would be over control of the land which could be used. The big difference between the clans and the feudal society which existed in most of lowland Scotland was that the latter was based entirely on a hierarchy built around the ownership of land. The clan system was very different because it was built around relationships. Many people believe that the power of the clans ended with Bonnie Prince Charlie's defeat at Culloden in 1746, since most of them supported the Jacobite cause and were routed in the oppression that followed. However, Jean Munro says that their decline had started long before this. When James VI took the throne, he summoned the clan chiefs to Edinburgh so he could keep an eye on them. They were required to attend the court every year. When they went there, they led a very different life. They started to have to use money, for instance, which they'd never needed before. The result was that they started to lose touch with their own people, and the whole structure began to fall to pieces. Even today, many Scots still feel an affinity to the clan to which they belong, although very few of them bother to join clan societies or take part in